Okay. But praise the Lord, saints. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a most glorious King. Amen. Amen. Well, the brothers wanted us to take some time just to share about different things that are going on in Europe. And part of that is so we could all be aware and we could all pray, but I believe a lot of it is so that we can all really have the sense that we're in one work, in one flow for the one building up of the one body of Christ here in Europe.
Amen.
Right. So this is like the fellowship or family fellowship for what is going on in Europe.
Amen.
Okay. So we're going to share something about France, what the Lord's doing now in France. And then following us, there will be some fellowship about what the Lord is doing now in Italy. And then we'll have some more fellowship after that. Okay, we have a PowerPoint presentation. So maybe we could bring up the first slide. And so, you know, I think everybody knows what's taking place in the last year and a half, I guess it is, with the beginning of the Olympics and how that was really a new beginning for the Lord's move in France.
Amen.
And so we just like to share where things are now, how things are developing, and you know, it's just what we feel like some very encouraging things that the Lord is doing. So I'll let Tong share first about the situation of now there is a full-time team for the French-speaking countries.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's better for me to read what I prepare so that we can keep to the time. For the Paris full-time team, you know, Brother Lee actually showed us the blueprint for the way to spread the Lord's recovery in the countries in Europe. He's distinctly said that some need to go to Europe to meet the real need of the seeking ones.
Amen.
With the divine truths from the Holy Word.
Amen.
He also described how he received a burden, and then he used a word, to invade.
Amen. Invade. Amen.
Remember this word. Amen. To invade Europe.
Amen.
With the divine truths.
Amen.
Of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Then he said, our going to Europe be neither by a work nor by a movement, but by emigration.
Amen.
One of the ways is that some saints can migrate to Europe to live the Lord. Amen. And serve the Lord full time.
Amen.
Live the Lord and serve the Lord full time.
Amen.
These are the ones who have been trained as army and are equipped with truth, life, preaching of the high gospel, and then the building up of the church. They should go there just to live Christ and serve him. Amen. This is in the world situation and the direction for the Lord's move in chapter 4.
Amen. Yes.
Only migration will spread the gospel. Only migration will cause us to forsake the world. This is the way to obtain God's blessing.
Amen.
We call on the Spirit of God to open the eyes of all the churches to truly see that migration is God's way for his churches today.
Amen.
We pray that God would touch more people with his love to take the way of migration.
Amen.
Now, overall, there are around 37 full-timers in France.
Amen.
Right now serving in different roles and capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We have a team of around 25 full-timers mm-hmm. in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have already started to live in various key cities, including Nanterre,
mm-hmm.
Toulouse,
mm-hmm.
Lille, and Luxembourg. We hope that more will be able to come from the U.S., Taiwan, and even South America.
Amen.
So this is our burden. The full-timers already has been in Paris for almost a year. And right now, they are the time to go out. May the Lord continue to trust our workers to reap his harvest in France and in the French-speaking Europe.
Amen.
This is not just for France. Yes. This is for the French-speaking Europe.
Amen.
And also to cooperate with the Lord's move in Italy.
Amen.
Two prayer items. Please continue to pray for the increase of the team serving full-time in Paris in order to take care of the Lord's need throughout the French-speaking countries. We need a desperate prayer for the release of the long-term stay visa for some of the saints. Secondly, the full-timers who are moving to the key city will be strengthened, supplied, and be blended with the local saints for the goal of raising up shining golden lampstand for his glorious testimony and his imminent return.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Okay, and brothers, with the audio video, we don't see the slides up here on the monitor, so we're not sure where it is. So, if you could bring up the slide that has a picture of a map of France. Okay, hopefully there's you're seeing a map of France with some dots. Okay, we can see it here. Okay, good. All right, so we just want to present. Are where we are with the labor for raising up new churches.
Okay.
Because the burden for everything that's been started since the last year and a half is there needs to be new churches in the French-speaking countries.
Yeah.
So where we are now is that this year, actually next weekend, we will have the first table meeting for the church in Nanterre.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen. And then the weekend after that, we will have the first table meeting for the church in Toulouse.
Amen.
So we're full of joy anticipating the Lord spreading his testimony to two new cities. And then for 2026, we're very confident. We're very much expecting that in the beginning of 2026, probably January, February, we will have the first table meeting for the church in Lille.
Lille.
Amen.
So, all these three places, it's ready. It's we just believe it's manifested. It's ready to be the church in that city.
Amen.
But we also the Lord has been advancing in two other places. One is a city called Esch-sur-Alzette in Luxembourg. We'll share a little bit more about the situation there, and also in a city called Rouen. And we just anticipate that next year there will be the beginning of the Lord's table in those two cities.
Amen.
And so now as churches are being established, we're looking forward, and we're already seeing that the Lord is moving in the city called Marseille. Right? Marseille is a very important city. It's considered the second city in France. And it would be like a hub for spreading in the south of France. So we'll be making a trip down to Marseille probably in 2 weeks because of a situation that we realize we need to go and visit and shepherd. But we're anticipating, our goal is that by 2027, we're really praying there will be a church in Marseille.
Amen.
Right, and then in cooperating with the church in Lyon, we can labor there. And then there's a number of places where it just seems like the Lord's testimony is ready to spread in more cities in the south of France.
Amen.
Okay, amen. So we can go to the next slide. Oh, now, let me see. Okay,
yeah.
So we just want to share some. We've shared this, I think, every time we share something about what's been going on in France, we bring up this map because we feel like it's just the best part.
Amen.
From the beginning, what has gone on in France has been a coordination from all the churches in Europe.
Amen.
And if you look on our map, we're talking about Toulouse. Well, Toulouse is really a product of the labor of the saints in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful that Spain would have a burden to raise up a church in France?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then just going around, the saints in the UK are laboring to raise up a church in Rouen. Right? So that's just glorious.
Yes.
And for the church in Lille, it has been a labor between the church in Brussels and the full-time training in Warsaw.
Amen.
The full-time training in Warsaw has made many trips with their trainees coming to labor in Lille. So what has been raised up in Lille is the fruit of Belgium and Poland. isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then what we have with Luxembourg, and then an existing city where there's an existing church, Strasbourg, the saints in Germany have been very much involved. And in particular, looking forward to having the table meeting in Luxembourg, it will be a product of the labor of the saints in Germany. But here's something that just amazing. It turns out there's a large Portuguese population in Luxembourg. And so now the work in Brazil has been sending saints from Brazil to labor in Luxembourg almost continually for the last year.
Amen.
And even a very key couple has migrated to Luxembourg. So can you imagine the churches in Brazil want to labor to raise up a church in Luxembourg? And also mention another thing, coming back to Lille, have a little point there that says New Zealand. I don't know why, but there's just some kind of organic connection that got made between New Zealand and Lille, so that there's been saints from New Zealand coming to Lille almost continually.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for a genuine blended work. Right?
Amen.
Okay. So now, brothers will share some more detail about the different cities, and we'll begin with Toulouse.
I'm sorry.
We'll begin with Nanterre.
Okay, because next week we will have a new lampstand raised up in Nanterre. Okay, when you hear this, when we understand that it's not by a work or by a movement, but it's by migration and through the fellowship. There's only one flow, only one work, only one ministry, only one testimony. We are all in the body and for the body.
Amen.
So the Nanterre raised up a new lampstand, not by itself, not by friends itself, but through the body. We are in fellowship. You look at the picture, you see? So many saints come from the different country to share and labor together in fellowship. Okay, next slide. Okay, actually now in Nanterre we have 42 saints, including 6 YP and 15 children. Okay, so 40 new ones under the care after last year, still under the care, this new content. They are local, typical French. Amen. Shepherding, but not only the last year, some saints participate the gospel trip, and follow up, there are some saints participate the shepherding trip. So since last year, they baptized 5 people. And now, they about almost every week, they have 4 meetings with the average about 20 to 30 saints. Their wonderful church life, they continue steadfastly to feed the new one, make a home meeting, a group meeting. Also, regularly, they go out to contact people to preach gospel until today. So saints so enjoy this kind of a sweet fellowship from house to house. This coming next weekend, we will have a very simple mini conference in that area. And also, the next Lord's Day, we will have raised up a new lampstand in Nanterre. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Toulouse. You know, you see these three brothers, they're in France, but I'm from Spain. So by some arrangement of fellowship, Toulouse was assigned to Spain.
Amen.
And when that happened, I didn't know what to do. None of us speak French.
Yeah.
None of us speak French. But the Lord did his sovereign work.
Amen.
And so a lampstand is being raised up. I would say it's like a flourishing tree out of dry ground.
Amen.
Why would I say that?
Mm.
For some reason, the brothers in France just had the burden for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Olympics started, there was only one sister there with her teenage daughter and mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another family about an hour away from Toulouse. That was all. You know, usually in the Lord's recovery, as far as my experience is concerned, new lampstands are raised up when there's a group of saints already meeting there for a while, right?
Mm.
We had nothing to lose. But the Lord is faithful.
Amen.
And he has gained some precious saints, new saints.
Amen.
And so, you know, this is less than a year and a half when we started laboring there.
Yeah.
And these are some pictures, you know, and Next slide.
Next slide.
So 38 total saints.
Amen.
From very beginning, we realized in the shepherding phase that we cannot just having appointments all the time.
Yes.
That we need to now have some kind of structure of the church life
so
they get used to the church life.
Amen.
You know? So we immediately started a Tuesday night meeting for young saints, Friday night fellowship time, Lord's Day two meetings. We, of course, didn't partake of the bread yet, break bread yet, but we said, "This we're going to meet in the principle of the Lord's table.
Amen.
We'll praise the Lord, we'll worship the Father,
Amen.
Sing hymns, and then a second session with prophesying. And that has been proven very, very profitable. So 2 weekday and one Lord's Day meeting per week. And then in addition to a regular life study reading time per Zoom in the evening. 30 attend the group home meetings at least once per week. 25 attend the Lord's Day meeting at least twice per month.
Amen.
Many of them are students, and they cannot attend to all the meetings.
Yes.
So that's why, you know. Then 12 new contacts since the summer. Just in summer, since the summer 2025, we've already have 12 new contacts. And they're already beginning to start coming to the meetings.
Yes.
And then, you know, 22 baptisms since the Olympus gospel trips.
Wonderful.
You know, Toulouse is a very important city in France.
Yeah.
It's the aerospace center of France. Airbus headquarters there. A lot of young people. And recently I just heard that there's a new consortium being formed in Toulouse, with Airbus being one of the main partners. And the whole goal is to make France a center of satellites, competition of SpaceX, you know, in the US.
Wow.
And they're gonna employ 25,000 people.
Wow.
Why do I bring this up? If you have the burden to migrate,
Amen.
Do it soon.
Amen.
Because the real estate value is going to go up.
Amen.
So, okay. Just in closing, I would like to say, you know the hymn we just sang, no mortal tongue can ever describe the freedom of the soul.
Yeah.
It's by a sister. Her name is Catherine Booth Cliburn.
Amen.
She's a daughter of the founder of Salvation Army. And she and her husband, most of their adult life, labored in France.
Amen.
And they you know, encountered a lot of persecution, but they were faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, this is a precious hymn that will cause us to consecrate ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
So anyway, praise the Lord for Toulouse.
Amen.
On the 9th, we're going to have the first table meeting.
Yes.
And we have a venue that can that has a capacity of 150. And we already are up to capacity. So may the Lord bless the lampstand in Toulouse.
Amen.
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 Okay. So we can go to the next one, and we'll share about Lille. Now, during the training we had earlier this week, we had brothers from all the localities come up and share, which was the best. But the brothers felt like to save time, we would just go through it more quickly. So I'm gonna share for the brothers in Lille.
Amen.
Okay. So Lille is a situation. There has been a small number of saints there for quite a period of time, and it is also where the warehouse for Bibles for Europe, for all of Europe, is located.
Yes.
So the Bibles that are used all over Europe are stored in a suburb of Lille.
Amen.
So Lille is a very important city. And so we began to labor with the Olympics, and it was just a very fertile ground. Just the response was just so, so positive.
Amen.
And then for this last year, the saints in Lille have been laboring on a good number of contacts. And maybe we can go to the next slide.
100 saints.
Yeah, more than 100 saints have come to Lille in the last year and a half, either for gospel trips or shepherding trips.
Amen.
And somebody, if I can see if we can get the number of ones they've been contacting. Okay, it just says they have, the situation is there are 20 saints there. So a group, some saints who have moved there, a group of Armenian-speaking saints who were there already, and then they're taking care of 15 new ones. But these 15 new ones are ones who have been solidly in the ministry now for at least a year. I mean, week by week, they've been getting into the ministry. They have a very strong taste for the ministry, and they have a good foundation that's been laid in them. So in all our fellowship with them, we all feel this is just ready to be the church in Lille. And the brothers feel that's the case also. We have one situation. One of the key families, the wife fell and she broke her elbow really badly. And then there's just been all kinds of complications. So they're back in the U.S. She had to have a completely whole surgery to redo everything. And so it's really delayed them coming back. So that's kind of made, that's why it's delayed for us to have the table meeting there. I really think we should have had a table meeting in Lille before the end of this year, but this has just delayed things. But I just, talking to the brothers there, they believe we will have the first table meeting there in January or February. And and we just think it's a situation. It will be a glorious little church.
Amen.
Okay, now we can go on. The next place, next is the city called Rouen. And Rouen is the capital of Upper Normandy. And it's a very, very old city with a very kind of a rich history. And we just felt that it was really proper that there would be a church raised up there. And in part because it's about 45 minutes from a city called Dieppe. And Dieppe is the is an old English word for deep, and it's because it's a city where there's a harbor, where there was a port. And in that city, there are there is a church raised up from typical French people who just happened to get a hold of the books by Watchman Nee, then found the books by Brother Lee, and then figured out that there were other people wanting to meet that way in France. And so there's a church there, and we just felt like we could coordinate with those saints in raising up a church in Rouen. And it's turned out it's become a coordination between the saints in England and the saints in this little city called Dieppe. And it's been a very good city. It's a very good situation. There's a dear couple from, a retired couple from the U.S. who have moved there to labor. And they were able to get a very nice house a walking distance from the university campus. So now they're there, and there are two sisters who have come from Taiwan to study French at this university. Turns out this with this university, kind of a unique situation. You can go there and study French for, it's like 200, I think it's like 200 euros per, or something very like very that cheap. For a semester. And if you're a student there, you can get student housing for something like 200 euros per month. So it's a, if anybody would like to learn French, we can talk to you about Rouen, okay? So the full-time training in London has sent trainees to labor there. The team in Paris has gone to support, and we will continue to have a close fellowship with them. And we are really, really hopeful, and we're expecting there will be a church in Rouen next year.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and then we can go on to the next one. Okay, this is a city, we typically, it's Esch-sur-Alzette, but we typically just say Esch. It's not easier to say. And there was a, in okay, everybody is aware of Luxembourg, it's this very small country in between France, Germany, and Belgium. And, but there's been a couple there who have been reading the ministry books, I think starting back 30 years ago, and wondering, is there a church? And then 3 years ago, we got in touch with them, and then automatically they said, we've seen what it is, this is it. And then so we were just there, going and visiting, praying, having a lot of fellowship and thinking, but there needs to be something in Luxembourg. So they opened up, they were willing to have the whole 50 days of the gospel teams during the Olympics. I mean, you know, obviously the Olympics in France didn't have anything to do with Luxembourg, but we thought, well, if we're there, let's just go to Luxembourg. And, and so they've gained a good number of people to fellowship with, and the majority are Portuguese speakers. And like I mentioned earlier, so now the work in Brazil is supporting the labor in Esch in Luxembourg. And there's a couple that's migrating. They're here in the meeting today.
Yeah.
And so we'll have this couple, and then we will have two of our full-timers living in Esch to labor for raising up a new church. So this is some, Esch is a founding member of the European Union. You can read the history. And so right now there are 16 saints, six families. And 12 regular contacts. And they've had 22 baptisms since we started with the gospel last year.
Amen.
So again, we just believe that the Lord is working and the Lord is going to establish the church in Esch.
Amen.
So I think that's all of the presentation. So we can just kind of end with a summary. Even just fellowshipping with the coworkers, what they felt like it would be good to share is, you know, on one hand, it's glorious that this is not a product of France or even the French-speaking countries.
Yes.
It's a product of the fellowship of the churches in Europe.
Amen.
And in an extension, eventually became a product of the churches all over the earth.
Amen.
And one thing we've seen, you know, one, it came from the gospel trips, but the key factor that has brought all these to fruition, where there could be churches, is so many saints went back just to stay there and to live there and to practice the church life.
Amen.
And so one thing we really learned is, you know, we think of going to these places, laboring, raising up churches, they think, well, that must be somebody who's a full-timer, must be somebody who's had, you know, so much constitution, to do these things. But really, in this stage of raising up churches, what we need are saints who can go to a place and just live there and live a normal church life.
Amen.
And that is what will perfect all these ones to be the church. And so what the brothers felt is we should just, one thing we've learned out of this is, this is a wonderful way to invest your time, to invest your life.
Amen.
To go to a place, be there, open your home, receive people, and just live the normal, regular, vital church life.
Amen.
And then the Lord will raise up a church.
Amen.
And a built-up church. And to have built-up churches from the people living in those cities, we just feel like that's amazing.
Amen.
So we would just like to encourage anyone, especially if you're retirement age. Okay, and I can testify, my wife and I we had left our jobs, we were retired. And it's been such a wonderful experience to just come to a place we didn't know and to come and to just be here and see how the Lord would work.
Amen.
And so I think what our call is not really come to France. Our call is go to the Lord and see how he would send you.
Amen.
And, you know, if the Lord could send you to labor in his move, and what Brother Lee said, even if it could happen one time in your life really means something.
Amen.
So we would just encourage on. Probably we're all, maybe we're all here because we've heard that calling already.
Amen.
But, you know, if you're somewhere and you have the time, you know, if you're retired, or even if you could go as a student, or if you could go as someone working. Just pray and see would the Lord send you.
Amen.
Right? And just see where would he send you.
Amen.
Amen. So I think.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our sharing for France, and now we'll have some sharing on Italy.
Praise the Lord, saints. We'd like to share about what's happening in Italy, but to understand this, I think we need to understand some history. And I'd like to go back to something that Brother Lee spoke of back in 1977 in Stuttgart, Germany. And I'll just read a portion of something that he shared at that time. If the Lord came back today, he would be ashamed because the bride has not been prepared. Suppose it is the day of your wedding and your bride is not present. Would that not be a shame to you? Certainly, no bridegroom would come, stand, and wait for his bride until he was assured that she was prepared and adorned for him. The Lord Jesus is coming as the bridegroom for the bride, but where is the bride in all of Western Europe? This is not a matter of doctrine. I hate the mere doctrine of the church. I want to see some genuine living churches. I do not care for the number that are in these churches. If there could be a church in Rome with 150 people who are shining, filled with Christ, and immersed in Christ, the Lord would be able to boast to Satan. He could say, Satan, in your city of Rome, I have a shining church. Amen. Brothers, you all must be burdened for the churches in Europe. And so, saints, as we've just heard concerning France, the Lord has been doing something, for sure. But we go back, I would say, even you go back to 2012. We had an Olympics taking place at that time in London. And during that time, the Lord released so much in the way of the running of the word. The word was running throughout London at that time. And many saints came from all over. Maybe some of us in the room were there participating in these gospel trips. And I believe what took place during that time was a kind of transaction in the heavens in which the Lord's attention and the attention of the entire recovery was focused on London. Now, the Olympics just happened to be the event that triggered that. But the Lord sovereignly used this event to turn our attention to London so that so much of the word was sown into the earth at that time, where I believe still some reaping is taking place there. Then you come to 2016. Consider Germany. Consider the situation at that time. Again, an event that none of us arranged, but it was sovereignly arranged by the Lord that so many people would come out of the Middle East, that entire region, and over 1 million people went into Germany. What happened then? It seemed that the Lord just used the environment to turn our attention to Germany. And the prayer was there, the fellowship, then eventually gospel trips, visitation, the shepherding of new ones. In fact, I've met a number of the saints that we met during that period of time. They're here in this conference because of the Lord's arrangement. So you go from 2012 to 2016. Then we heard of this recent time with the Olympics. Again, none of us arranged the Olympics, but the Lord uses the event to cause us to consider how do we cooperate with him to advance his move in Europe. Then what happened in the early part of this year, one of the brothers mentioned, you know, by the way, there are the Winter Olympics taking place in Italy. Amen. And it was like the light bulb came on, you know, boing, you know, Winter Olympics in Italy. That caused the brothers to begin to pray and to consider, what does the Lord want to do in relation to this time in Italy? Amen. And I just feel, and I think many of us feel, saints, that now is the time for Italy. Amen. You consider Western Europe. What are the key, most crucial countries? You have to look at Germany, France, Italy, the United Kingdom. These countries with large populations, substantial countries where the Lord wants to establish his testimony there, that the bride can be prepared and that the enemy can be put to shame. And so our sensation these days is that the spotlight is shifting now to Italy. And of course, particularly with Rome as the center of that country. So the brothers will share with us a little bit more in the way of detail concerning what's being planned for this time. But we do want to bring this to all of our attention so that we can bear this in prayer in the body. This is a move of the body, just as we saw in the previous situations. This is a move in the body. You know, in Germany in 2016, there were 3 local churches at the beginning of 2016. I believe now there's 11 or 12 local churches in that country. At the beginning of this move in France, there were 5 local churches there, and we've heard from the brothers how there's going to be another 5 or 6 lampstands raised up. And the significance of this is that in the local churches, this is where the bride can be prepared. Amen. Apart from the local churches, there's no way for the bride to be prepared, because we're talking about a system that's, by its very nature, is just divided. So may the Lord really establish his testimony in these key countries, raising up the churches so that the bride can be prepared in Western Europe. This is our opportunity, saints. This is where we are. And may the Lord, whether we go, whether we give, or whether we pray, we all can participate. Amen. Praise the Lord for what he's doing.
Amen. Next slide, brothers. So a little bit on the history of the churches in Italy. In 2009, the ground of the church was taken in Milan, and mostly that was Chinese-speaking saints. And then in 2010, there began to be some prayer and fellowship with those, some of you know, those burdened for Italy. And out of that came some saints who migrated in 2011. And those saints eventually took the ground for the church in Rome in 2012. And then in Vicenza, there's about 50 saints in Milan, and now there's around 42 saints in Rome, mostly through, probably 50 to 60% are through migration. And then in Vicenza, we have approximately 20-something saints, 25. And they took the ground last September. And those are the 3 localities that we currently have in Italy. Next slide. So, but we have so many saints. There's around 200 to 225 saints in Italy currently, very much similar to what we had in France. 3 churches with 200 plus saints. But many of these saints are scattered in various cities. You've got like Biella and Cuneo that are surrounding a major city like Turin. And then we've got Padova, next, that's a university town nearby Vicenza. And so, and then we've got in central Italy, we've got 2 cities that you may not be familiar with, but they're very near to Florence. And so there's probably with saints and children, maybe like 40 or 50 in that area. In the south of Italy, there's the 3rd largest city is Palermo, but there's only one right now. There's a couple there and a brother. And in Catania, we have around, we have 2 couples that are in Catania that are Chinese speaking. And in Naples, we've got a family, and then we have some sisters that are in surrounding areas. So there's probably about 4 or 5 saints total. That's a little bit about where things are in Italy. Next slide. So, you know, we began to pray with some coworkers on Thursday nights, and we began in by praying once a month, and then this matter of the Olympics came up, and there was some feeling, well, maybe we should pray some more and have a bit more fellowship and coordination. But out of this came something that we did not expect, and that was that the brothers in France and the coworkers in Europe began to have a burden to come and labor with us. And so on August 11th through 14th, the Lord took a major move. And we began to realize that the Lord was not just going to, you know, take care of something, you know, as our brother shared, the Olympics is just an opportunity. But now, as our brother will share, there's really been a real response in the body. And so we really feel that not only the Olympics, but as in France, there would be many more shepherding trips that follow on, and that this would really be a move in the body, for the body, and especially with the saints in Europe.
Amen. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We believe now is the time the Lord wants to do something in Italy. Of course, you know, he is the leader and he is the savior. Amen. He arranges the world situation that he could save man. And he definitely has a heart. He wants to save some in Italy. We could go to the next slide. You know, with the, we recognize these are the Olympic time. And although the Olympics are what they are, but it's an opportunity. Amen. It's an opportunity for the saints to come, to blend together, to focus in their prayer for this country, and then for a good number to visit. Amen. So we're getting a lot of help from the gospel move in France and a lot of the lessons that they learned. You know, we have the torch relay will be for 60 days going to 60 cities. And originally our list was a lot longer where we were going to try to visit. And then the Olympics will mainly be in Milan, but plus the mountains. So through the brothers in France, the fellowship was just to focus on the key cities where we have the sense that they're an important city, there's some saints there, and that the Lord is moving there. So with that, of course, we have the three churches, Milan, Vicenza, and Rome. And we really feel like these places need to be strengthened and we need the increase there. So we'll have the saints come to focus their gospel labor there. And then we also have some other key cities like Turin, I believe is maybe number four, largest in Italy. And there's a small number of saints, but a good number of saints, as well as supported by the surrounding localities. So we're definitely going to be spending a lot of focus on Turin. Bologna is also an important city. And as Steve mentioned, Padova is basically Vicenza's campus. And they have a good number of new ones already there. So we like to spend a good time laboring on the campus there in Padova. As well as the faithful saints who've been in the Florence area for a number of years, we like to spend some time just to be with them and to go out on the gospel and to shepherd them. So we'll be in Fucecchio and Prato. And then in the south, very few saints, but interestingly, some of the best response from Rhema comes from these places in the south. And if we don't take the opportunity to go and sow seeds there, when will we go? The Lord is coming back soon, so we have to be faithful to go and labor there. So some saints have signed up. We can go to the next slide. So we have the torch relay for 2 months, the Olympic Games for a little over 2 weeks. Next slide. So we will have 7 cycles of gospel trips over 3 months. Starting December 4th, we'll somewhat follow the torch so we can at least go out on that day. But really, it's not about the torch. We'll stay there a longer period of time to labor on the city. So we'll be in Rome and in Florence, then to Sicily and Naples. And so our hub for those gospel trips will be Rome. Then for January and February, we'll focus in the north, and we'll be our base will be Milan. Next slide. And then we'll continue in Milan for the 2 weeks there in OL 1 and 2. And we also may begin to do follow-up trips. We've also learned this from France, to linger in the city, to have follow-up, not just to have a gospel move and then leave. Maybe we'll begin already in February. Actually, all the gospel trips are full. We've had quite a positive response from the saints around the world, but there will be follow-up trips. So if some of you are just hearing about it now and you didn't have the opportunity to sign up, the follow-up trips will be coming. We haven't worked out the details, but you'll still be able to sign up on the form and we'll get you information about the follow-up trips. Next slide. So we're so encouraged with the response from the saints from all 6 inhabited continents. The saints are coming from 24 different countries. Also, you know, a good number from Europe, from various places, but from all over the earth, the saints will be coming, from ones who are in their teens to ones who are in their 70s. So it'll be a wonderful blending together of saints, the one new man going out in these teams to share the gospel. So we're quite encouraged. We can go to Brother Don. Amen.
Well, there's the, you want to put the one on the going out? The,
Oh, yes. Okay, one more slide before the piano sounds the note. Just an idea, you know, we don't have the recovery version yet in Italian, so pray for this. So for now, to share the ministry, we'll use the Basic Elements of the Christian Life, Volume 1, and we will have some Bibles in other languages available if some can manage, you know, English or other languages. But really, this will be their introduction to the ministry, the Basic Elements of the Christian Life, Volume 1. And we also, through the fellowship, we have a new gospel tract to reach the Italian people specifically. We'll be passing out as well. And they'll be led to this site, Bible Resources. And there'll be ministry samples on there. There'll be a way for them to get more ministry, and even if they want to get in contact with someone. So besides the distribution, though, we learned from France to have an emphasis on personal contacts. So we're not just going out to distribute things, but really we hope the saints will come. They'll meet the Italian people. They'll befriend them. They'll make a personal contact. They'll start to have appointments while they're there, and then they can continue these appointments virtually after they leave Italy. And then eventually, you know, some can come into the church life. So this is our endeavor in going out. Amen.
Next slide, please. Okay, so the goal for the Lord's movement in Italy. So the first is to strengthen the existing churches and places where there are a small number of saints. I think you notice there are many places in Italy where there are groups of saints. And some of these are not that small. There could be 10, there could be up to 20. So it's a really fertile place to labor where these groups of saints, they could be strengthened. Maybe if there could be some saints who would be there to help them to go on, there could right away there could be more churches in Italy.
Yes.
And so the goal is first shepherding the saints, right? And then and so to shepherd the saints, and then to gain local Italians. So that's why we're not going to hand out a lot of tracts in the tourist zones. We're getting people from all over the world, but to labor where we can contact the Italian people. And this is in view to raising up new churches in Italy. So what we feel like the way the Lord is going on is not to go and to generate just a huge database of names. We will collect a lot of names, and we hope to follow up. But the ultimate goal is that after laboring in these places, there would be a small number of the local Italian people that we've contacted, that we've made this connection with, and that they have started to get a taste for meeting together, and that we could continue with them, right? We would, right? We're not just going there to labor and then go on and leave, do something else, but to have a continuous labor after that so that there could be a group of these people in these cities with who could eventually become the church in that city. So we just pray that the Lord, we all need to pray that the Lord would give us a breakthrough in so many of these cities, because it seems like the situation is ripe in a number of these cities. If we could gain some local people to be added, we could have a church. Right? So, and then the last is to open the door for migration to support the Lord's move. And on this, I'd just like to mention something and bring in an experience I had. We think we're going to labor on these people, right? We're going to carry out handing out tracts, Bible distributions, laboring to do something for the Lord. But we don't realize when you go on this kind of a trip, and when you engage in this, you don't realize it. But as you're there, the Lord is writing those people into your heart. And as the Lord writes those people into your heart, you will never forget them. And I'll just give a little testimony. In 2009, I think it is, there was the big Bible distributions in South America. So I was in Brazil, and out of that, eventually, that got written into my heart, and I went for the next 6 years, I kept going back to Brazil over and over. And eventually I thought, well, if we're going to move, we'll move to Brazil. But then right when my wife and I were praying, and then as we were praying, this fellowship came up about Paris, France. So, but to this day, if I just hear somebody speaking Brazilian Portuguese, my heart leaps. Because the saints in Brazil will always be written in my heart.
Amen.
You know, so we would just encourage you, come to these cities, come to a city in Italy, and just invest yourself, and the Lord will write a letter of Christ in your heart.
Amen.
Right. Okay. And it might just be that such a letter will be written that you'll think, okay, this is where I need to be. Right.
Amen.
Okay. So I think we can go to the next slide. And okay, so we all know the three ways is we can pray, we can give, and we can go.
Amen.
So first, let us rise up and pray.
Amen.
And I think based on all of our experience from the things in France, I have the assurance, and I think everyone who was there has the assurance, if we will pray, the Lord will do marvels in Italy.
Amen.
You know, but it really depends on our prayer.
Amen.
If we will pray, then the saints who are going will not be going to do the work. They'll be going just to reap the benefits of our prayer.
Amen.
You know, they'll go and they'll find the people that, nobody knows why, but those people all of a sudden are just so open and they want what we have. So above all, let us rise up and pray.
Amen.
Right. And then forgiving. The prayer is first, but the brothers are going to need money to carry these things out. So offerings should be made through each one's church, and then the church can transfer the money to the Lord's move in Europe, or directly to the church in Rome.
Maybe next slide.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought they had moved the slide. Sorry. Okay. And then the third, going. The torch relays, the gospel trips are full. But it still doesn't hurt to knock on the door if you have the Lord's burden.
Amen.
And then, but also, this is a major part. These gospel trips are full, but the gospel trips are not the labor. There will still be a much greater labor after the gospel trips. So we should all, may we all pray and we go and seek the Lord and consider, would the Lord lead us to invest some of our time to labor in one of these places after these gospel trips? I mean, I know for the full-time team in France, they've been asking us over and over, how are we going to get involved in Italy? But fellowshipping with the brothers, they felt, well, why don't you wait till we're getting close to the end, and then you can help be a bridge into the shepherding trips. So that's on our plan. I mean, it's kind of funny. When we got finished with after the gospel trips, some of the shepherding trips in France, we thought, okay, now we can start. And then the next thing we hear is there's the Olympics in Italy. We thought, we're just getting started, but now we're already moving to Italy. but all the saints have the burden.
Yes.
And we feel like maybe that's because now the Lord is accelerating what he's doing.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to wait for years to go on, you know.
No.
And I believe if we will all be one, if we will all pray, if we'll all go on together, it may be we've been to, the Lord done something in France, the Lord will do something in Italy, and then maybe this is the way he could just go on country by country throughout all of Europe.
Amen.
Right? But let's pray, give, and go.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, give, and go.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen, Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Say anything? Are you going to say anything?
No. Just starting with you.
Oh, okay. All right. Amen. Amen, saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hopefully, by the time I sit down, Brother Paul will be burdened to speak something.
I don't think so. That was not a plan.
Okay, so saints, we would like to share a little bit with you about the full-time training. And we'll show you a short video. You may have seen this before, but we're hoping to have a much more complete one for the winter training. But anyway, it will give you a good view, this video will, of what we have planned for the training center there in London. I was hoping we'd get a little history from Brother Paul, but anyway, he's deferred until later. And so I'll give you a more current history, and that begins in 1997. And what happened in 1997 was the decision was made by Brother Lee to start the full-time training in London.
Amen.
And so we began the full-time training, a great big training class of seven trainees.
Yes.
You know, we would say we were able to have the training around our kitchen table. But we began, and we had several countries represented, even some from Eastern Europe at the very beginning. But it was a start for the full-time training. And then the training used facilities where we were. That was Putney in London. Eventually, we moved out by Heathrow Airport to a place called Heckfield. But finally, the brothers in London, the leading brothers, Paul was one of these, they came to us and said, we feel like the training needs to be in London itself. Mm. And so based on this, the feeling was the training needed to be owned by itself, in a sense. So we began to fellowship, and eventually the Lord gave us a property in 2005 called Bauer House that had been owned by Ford Motor Company, and they had sold it, and it eventually became available, and they used it to train their salespeople. So when we bought that property, there was a turnstile right in the middle of the room for the training where they put cars that go around in circles. So we had to get rid of that and other things, but we used that facility for a long, long time, and it became very, very useful for us. And they went to the trouble while they were there, the Ford Motor Company, to get it registered as a residential training facility. So we were a residential training facility with our little group of trainees. And we got Bauer House. Many of you have been at Bauer House. So a while back, we demolished our training center, not long ago, with the view that we would build a proper training center there at Bauer House. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but we're going to see a video first that will give you a little bit of background and a mock-up of what will be there. Hopefully, not too far in the future. We can talk about that at the end. We'll see that now, and then we'll come back and say just a little bit more about it. Okay? Okay, brothers?
It's a powerhouse. We have been working to develop plans and gain permission for a modern and upgraded training facility for the sake of the Lord's Movement Europe. This modern video shows what the new FTTL campus will be after completion. A courtyard next to one of the original historic buildings, seen on the right, welcomes the trainees and leads to the entrance of the new training center. The training center has two levels, with the lower level being excavated below the present surface. By digging into the ground, the size and capacity of the training center is significantly increased within our permitted development. The main entrance of the training center opens into a lobby. Across the corridor is the main FTTL classroom. This room is shown open to its maximum capacity for nearly 1,000 people. But it will regularly be divided into three classrooms through partitions that descend from the ceiling. Two sections will be for FTTL classrooms, and a third will be for the Bible and book storage and distribution. A staircase leads to the dining area. There is also an elevator to help those who need it to go upstairs. This dining room can comfortably provide for at least 200 trainees. Kitchen, dish room, and storage facilities are located to the left through the glass corridor. Servery areas line one side of the dining area with ample space between table areas. Exiting the dining room, we come to a patio area that is actually the roof of the classroom below. This grass roof overlooks the grounds on one side, as well as the original historic manor house on the other side. Through the brick wall, we come to a pond with surrounding pathways. The grounds around the FTTL campus will be developed and will provide many areas for trainees to enjoy walks with the Lord and much fellowship with one another. As we come along the side of the training center and turn toward the pond, we walk along a path that leads to the Barrow Farm portion of the property. We recently obtained permission to redevelop the existing barns and stables of Barrow Farm and convert them into FTTL accommodation. Being a short walk away from the training center, this housing will provide a total accommodation across the campus for over 200 trainees. At present, trainees live in various houses, which are often a significant distance away from the training center by car. With the new training center campus, it is possible that all the trainees can be living on site. The majority of the buildings seen are built on the original footprint of the barns and stables of Barrow Farm. And as directed by the City Council, each building maintains the general form or appearance of the original buildings. Barns and stables have been repurposed and refurbished to still resemble the original structures, but the insides are modern and spacious and specifically designed for corporate living for the trainees. Separate areas for brothers, sisters, and married couples are designed throughout the Barrow House campus, and the different housing units include bedrooms, bathrooms, living rooms, and kitchens. Everything seen in this walkthrough has been approved by the City Council, and the completed project will result in a full-time training campus with classrooms, dining and kitchen areas, study areas, and accommodation, all on one property.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, so some of you have probably seen that before, but this brings you a little bit up to date on what we will have there at Bauer House. Just to give you an idea, that big room that will be there will seat all of us that are in this room. All of us would fit in that room. We will have two partitions in that big room, and they will be able to come down from the ceiling and make three rooms. So there will be, for example, behind me would be the entrance into the rooms or the room. And so depending on what the function was at that time, we would have partitions up. So if we are packing Bibles, we would have a partition for the Bible packing. We pack and send a lot of Bibles into Europe. Amen. From there. Right now we have an area for packing Bibles a little bit larger than this stage. Honestly, it's just a little bit larger than this stage. That's where we pack our Bible. The trainees that are here, they can testify to this. Our training classroom is full. Typically, we have about 50 trainees in the classroom. When you walk down the aisle in the classroom, you have to walk like this. But they're in there because we have demolished the training facility, the one that we got from Ford that had the place for the cars to turn around. That was demolished. And if you look at the screen now, you'll see a little bit. You don't see much, but you'll see where some big equipment is there. That's big equipment that most of us don't know how to operate right now. But we are digging a big hole. We've already dug it. We've dug a big hole about the size of this room, so that we can go down a level, because the government requires us to have a certain height that we can't go above. So our big room will be a little bit down, and then the dining area will be pretty much on ground level. But anyway, we have all the permission necessary to have a training there that can seat in a big room 900. So we are preparing ourselves when this is done that we'll be able to house at least 200 trainees on the property. Right now we have almost 50 trainees, I think 48. Most of them and all the sisters live on our property. But we don't have an extra bed at all on the property right now. Everything is full. That's the present status of the training facility. So we want to help the training to grow. A couple of years ago, just about now, all of a sudden our funds just stopped. Everything stopped. We had to lay off all our experienced workers. They had to go get other work. And we went about a year with hardly any work being done, just what we could, what little bit we could do with what you would call a skeleton crew. But early this year, somewhere, someplace, some saints became burdened. And they gave some money so that we could get going again. And we are going full speed ahead now with the training. We will use up those funds probably at the end of the year, but we're still going. We're going right now. And in fellowship with the co-workers, since we've been here, we fellowship that we would like to begin the training there in the autumn of 2028. Now we have, at our present funding, we have about 10 years of work to do. But if the funds come in, we'll get it done. One of the brothers who has overseen most of the construction work in America and Taipei and other places through the years, one of the brothers involved in overseeing that, told us some time back that we can do this in 2 years if we get with it. So 2028 for the autumn, that's 2.5 years still. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
We think we'll make it.
Amen.
Saints, we need you to pray.
Amen.
Because we want the European young people to be able to come and to be trained in a very good way and be able to go to all of the cities we've been fellowshipping about. And they are out there. There are so many university students out there. In London itself, there are over 500,000 university students. All over Europe, there are millions and millions of university students. So may we do this. May we make it happen. We've begun. Right now, we're still in the process of using our heavy equipment. So that means we have to have qualified professionals with licensing to do this kind of work. But early in the new year, we'll be ready for volunteers. Amen. You know what volunteers are? They don't know what they're doing yet. Yeah. That's volunteers. They've come just to offer themselves. And we also have, as many of you know, we have another property that is mainly designed for weekends and for short times to come. It's a camp that we used for many years. And they finally decided, because the denomination that owned it didn't have enough young people coming to make it worthwhile, and they decided to sell it. So their caretaker called us and said, "You want to buy this place? We think you can get it." And we said, "Why not try?" And we tried, and we got it. And that's Woodland Camp.
Amen.
Woodland Camp has 148 beds. So anyone can come and join and come short-term to the training or just come to labor or whatever, to visit, to flow, to be with the saints, and we'll get this done. So we believe Amen. The Lord is fully in this, and all of the things that we're experiencing right now with what's happening in France and Italy and elsewhere, all the places, we would like for the young people to be trained to go, but we would also like to have a place where the saints could come
Amen.
And bring their contacts and come and stay for a while and be with the young people who are there in the training, Amen. Be with the saints who live in London and blend together Amen. So that they can have an opportunity to be in a good church life and blend and then go back where they came from, even if it's a small locality somewhere very far away. This works. And so please pray. Please pray the Lord would get the training facility that he needs to have and that we all would participate in as many ways as we possibly can to see it happen.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we hope at the winter training we will be able to do a presentation, a longer video, and be able to open it up to the whole recovery and make all this information available to everyone in the recovery. Amen.
Brother Joe, let me check. How many have passed through the full-time training in London? Please stand up.
Or if you're in it now.
In now.
Now or in the past?
In the past. In. Present. Look. Hallelujah! Very, very good. See?
Good job.
Yeah, good job.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. We have another item to bring to you in our family time this afternoon. You may have seen or heard of a kind of a burden for major cities in Europe. You know, there's been prayer lists that go around. A few years ago, there were six cities that were listed. Currently, there are nine cities that are listed as cities that we have a particular burden for. Now, this is not to say, let me quickly insert here, that if your city is not on the list, that doesn't mean we don't have a burden for that city. As you will hear in just a moment, we're really burdened for all the major cities in Europe. But we have identified a number of key cities for various reasons that Brother Willem will give a brief explanation, but I wanted to just introduce this matter so that we're all on the same page and we understand what the thinking is behind this. And so let me go back to the conference that I mentioned earlier, 1977 in Stuttgart. You can read this in the book, The Kernel of the Bible. And there's a chapter in that book entitled The Lord's Need for Churches. And I read earlier about how the Lord needs the local churches in order to prepare the bride for his return. This is not going to take place in systemic religion, in the system of Christendom. The Lord doesn't have a way to do that there. Now, there are dear believers there. And of course, every believer is a member of the church. But for the actual practical outworking of the preparation of the bride, he needs the local churches. And so this is, you know, he describes this in this chapter, but let me just read a portion of this. The Lord needs churches, young people, The Lord needs churches, and you must bear the burden for this. Surely the Lord desires a church in Madrid, the capital of the old Catholic country of Spain. Well, praise the Lord, there is a church in Madrid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, this was spoken in 1977. Who is willing to be burdened to go there? The Lord is calling for this. Who will go to Paris, to London, to Rome? Well, hallelujah. The Lord has done something already in these churches. But the principle is that he wants to keep going. The vine is always spreading. Life is always flowing. And so the Lord wants to go to so many other places and even strengthen existing places. So he continues, he says, in these dark cities, there is no lampstand. Oh, the Lord is calling. Who is willing to be burdened to go to a major city in Europe so that the Lord may have a church there? The Lord is calling. He is calling you and me to bear the burden for the major cities in Europe so that he may have churches built up in the territory of the coming Antichrist. Go and tell others that today the Lord needs churches. Now, one observation I have through the years coming from the U.S. is that there's been a tendency among us to sort of wait on the migration of the saints from the U.S. to come to Europe to help us in this regard. Well, I'd like to propose to all of us here, now that we're all here in Europe, wherever we come from, that we will take care of this matter. And by the time the saints in the U.S. get it together and come over here, we'll already get the job done. So the Lord needs to do a work in the major cities in Europe. And this is the burden. And so the brothers took some time to consider, okay, what is a major city? Number one, capital of a country. Number two, population. If there's a substantial population, 500,000 or more, that surely is a major city. Then another consideration is some kind of strategic importance or value or history in relation to that city. So a lot of considerations. Now we assembled a list of 9 cities. Some of them already have the lampstand there. Praise the Lord for this. But we have some consideration that, for example, Rome, Paris, Dublin, these cities, we already have the lampstand. Thank the Lord for this. But there's a feeling that these cities are strategic, they're important, and they offer the Lord some opportunity to do something more, to advance his move. So saints, we are the most blessed people on the whole earth that we can be those who participate in the Lord's move at the end of this age. And please take note that the very subject of our conference has to do with the praising and overcoming at the end of this age. And so here we are in Europe. What shall we do? Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, overcome. But yes, may we bear the burden for the major cities in Europe so that the churches can spread, the bride can be prepared, and we can be those who bring the Lord Jesus back. So Brother Willem will tell us about the 9 cities.
So I'm just going to name them and give you a brief description of them. The first one is Athens. As the capital and largest city of Greece, the city of Athens had scriptural and prophetic significance. In Acts it says, and while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he beheld that the city was full of idols. Also, Brother Lee felt strongly that the coming Antichrist will be a Greek descendant. The saints have been meeting as the church there since 2006, with about 25 on the Lord's Day. Second city is Belfast. There are about 20 saints meeting there with the aspiration to start the Lord's table at the right time. It is the capital and largest city in Northern Ireland, with a troubled and violent history of religious strife between Catholics and Protestants, it would surely be a shame to the enemy to raise up a church there on the ground of oneness. Amen. Then we have Brussels. This city is the administrative center of the European Union and the capital of Belgium. It has a population of over 1 million. There is a local church there that started in 2000 and now has about 45 saints meeting. But the burden is for the strengthening of the Lord's testimony in such a crucial location.
Amen.
Okay, then I have to go on. Dublin, amen. The church life began in 2005 and there are about 50 saints meeting on the Lord's Day. It is the capital and largest city in Ireland. The burden for this locality is based on the belief that there is much opportunity for the Lord to gain more in this nation. One reason for this is that Ireland is the most prominent nation in the EU with English as its primary language. Hence, this city has strategic importance. Then we go to Geneva, that's number five. The second most populous city in Switzerland behind Zurich and the largest city in the French-speaking region of the country. For the past several years, the saints in Geneva have been meeting in Lausanne. However, based on the recent gospel trips in France, there's a clear sense that the Lord is brooding over Geneva. Amen. And saints are preparing to migrate to this key city.
Amen.
Then number six is Paris, Amen. One of the most significant cities in the world. Paris is the capital of France. The church life was established there in 2002 and has over 100 saints meeting. Because of the Lord's present move in the French-speaking countries, the burden is to strengthen the Lord's testimony in this crucial city so that it can serve as a base for the Lord's move. Then number seven is Prague, the capital and largest city of the Czech Republic, a country in Central Europe. There have been about 20 saints meeting there since the church began in 1999. Due to its location and history, this city can serve as a base for the Lord's move in the major cities in Eastern Europe.
Amen.
Then number eight, Rome. There is a continuing burden for Rome due to its crucial significance in history and in the prophecies at the end times.
Amen.
If the Lord gains a church here with 150 saints worshiping God in spirit and truthfulness, this would utterly shame the enemy and signal the Lord's soon return.
Amen.
The lampstand was established in 2012, and there are currently 20 to 25 meeting there. And then the last city is Vienna. Vienna is the fifth largest city in the European Union, with a population of almost 3 million. It is also the capital of Austria. Approximately 15 saints meet there as they anticipate the establishment of a lampstand in that important city. May the Lord fully gain the prayers and response needed so that his kingdom may come to the earth.